Our gospel this morning comes from the 9th chapter of the gospel according to Mark, beginning with the 38th verse. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us, for truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. Are we going to be able to find the place that we need to be? Oh, that's good. Very good. All right. You can guess that we're going to talk about identity this morning. When you got up and you looked in the mirror, did you know who was standing there in front of you? Hopefully so. Beloved child of God, you recognized yourself. Now, there are certain things about ourselves that we can change, right? We can change our hairdos. Some people do that quite often. Not myself, don't have much to work with. Some people change their clothes often, right? So, I've got a set of clothes that I wear when I'm doing construction. After worship today, I'm headed up to Garrison to continue working on my folks' house there. So there's a certain set of clothes that I wear. I only have one set that I wear when I do this. Why? Because you really only need one set of clothing that has paint and Perfetape gunk and everything else all over it, right? Really don't need more than that. I've got a set of clothing that I use when I am out kayaking or canoeing. Why? Because I'm going to get wet. There's no question about it. And these dry easily. And there's a set of clothing that I wear when I'm around here. I guess because I'm supposed to look respectable. Some people change jobs, right? Once or twice in the midst of their lives. Maybe not just jobs, but whole careers. People do that. But there's one thing that you cannot change. Period. End of story. And that is your identity. I believe as we look at the Gospel of Mark today, what is in the text is all about identity, your identity. And I want to start at the back end of the text. Start with verse 50, which is the very last verse of the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Hear those words again. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. I think that Jesus uses those words to kind of shake us up a little bit, to make us think. Because the truth is, and Jesus knew this, salt was used all of the time in his day as a preservative of food. Salt is salt. Period. Salt doesn't change. Salt doesn't lose its saltiness. You can take salt, put it in an oven, bake it for days if you want. When it cools down, if you dip your finger in it and put it on your tongue, you're going to taste salt. You can take that same salt and throw it in the freezer, leave it in there for months, stick your finger in it, put it on your tongue. It's going to taste like salt. Salt is salt. You can't change it. That's just the way it is. Beloved child of God, named and claimed in the baptismal waters, marked as God's holy child, you can't change that. Period. As you read in this gospel, if you jump back a little bit, we are in a part of the Gospel of Mark where I believe Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, and as we read along, us, who he is and who we as followers of the risen Christ are. You remember back a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching toward the end of the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. It was a time when Jesus looked at his followers and he says to them, "Who do the people say that I am?" Some of them said, "Well, you're John the Baptist, come back to life." Others say, "You're Elijah." Still others say, "You're one of the other prophets." And then Jesus looks at them and says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you're the Messiah." And then Jesus begins to tell them who the Messiah or the Christ is, the Anointed One. He's the one who's going to be betrayed, beaten, die, and 3 days later rise again. Peter said, "Oh no, that can't be." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You've got your mind set on human things, not on God's things." Jesus knew his identity, and he knew what he had come to do. He had come to die for the forgiveness of sins of each and every one of us. That was his identity. But then he continues to teach what our identity as the followers of him is. What is our identity? And as you jump further into the text from today, as Jesus starts talking about stumbling blocks, about this cutting off limbs, hands or foot, or gouging out eye, I mean, that is graphic description. Words like hell and worms that never die. What is going on in the midst of this? I think part of what's going on is exaggeration. Jesus is using exaggeration to kind of grab us, shake us, get our imaginations thinking. Because the truth is, what we do as his followers matters. Do you really believe that Jesus wants us tying millstones around our neck or cutting off a hand or a leg or an eye? No. No. That's not what he's asking. But he is trying to teach us that it is really serious business to be a follower of his. Your identity is not something that you can slip on or slip off at will. It is who you are. You don't put on your Christian identity as you walk into a space of worship and then leave it on a coat rack when you go. It's what you have on always, wherever you go, whatever is going on, whoever you're with. And it's vitally important that we understand that. There are all sorts of surveys that have been taken of people who no longer attend worship. And one of the things that they consistently say, a reason that they don't worship or aren't connected with a church, is because they see churchgoers as being hypocritical. Acting one way when they're in the midst of a worship space and living a completely different way when they're everywhere else. Hypocrisy. And they look at it and they see it and they want nothing to do with it. Makes perfect sense to me. We are called to be people who wear our baptismal identity always, everywhere that we are. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. for the sake of others. And when we don't, we become a stumbling block to others. And that can be devastating for their life and for their walk of faith. So what does that mean? So what does it land, or where does it land in our daily lives? Here's what I think it means. It means that when you walk into a store and you engage a store clerk, or you go into a school because you've been called there by the principal or your kid's teacher to have a little sit-down conversation with them, that as uncomfortable as what's going on there may be, you are called to be one who recognizes in the other that they are a beloved child of God. That you treat them as such, with love and respect and care. So one of our sons, once upon a time, worked in one of the big box stores here in Bismarck. He would come home after a shift of working at the till and talk about how horribly he had been treated by customer after customer after customer who was crabby at him and with him and did much growling in the midst of engaging him. That's not who we are. We are engaging other beloved children of God whenever we are out and about, whether they know it or not. Because God created absolutely everything in the world, and that means absolutely every human being, and that means they are the beloveds of God. It means we act differently when we're together as family or with friends as well. I mean, if you sit at home with one who is your spouse or with kids around or with your parents, we, beloved children of God, are called to remember that that other one that we're sitting with is also a beloved child of God, even when they annoy us. Maybe that doesn't happen in your household. It happens in mine. I'm often the annoyer, not the annoyee. But we have to look at that other one as a beloved child of God. Does that mean that if we have a disagreement, we just take that and stuff it away? Absolutely not. To love one another means to talk with one another with honesty. But it means talking out of a place about how it makes us feel, in hopes that we can come to a better relationship moving forward. And here comes the real tough one, at least for me. You know that politician or that public figure out there who, whenever you see them on television or hear them on the radio or read something about them in the newspaper, it just makes your skin crawl because absolutely everything they say and everything they stand for is just an anathema to you? You want nothing to do with it? Guess what? No matter where you stand, whatever label you put upon yourself, whether it's red or blue, whether it is vaccine, no vaccine, mask, no mask, whatever barriers you want to make between yourself and someone else, that person who is on the exact opposite from you, beloved child of God, is also a beloved child of God. Doesn't mean that you need to agree with them. Doesn't mean that you need to see the world the same that they do. But you gotta try to listen to them to understand where they're coming from. You've still gotta treat them with love and respect that is due a beloved child of God. And that one trips me up again and again and again, which calls me to confession and absolution. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been washed in these baptismal waters. We have been named as child of God, beloved, always. You cannot get rid of that identity. So hear the very ending of Mark 9 again. Have salt in yourselves. Be a salty one. And be at peace with one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.